This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I can't wait for Mike. 735, my old co-host, going to join us here on the show. He's now the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. Feeling great. I almost said Mike. See what's happening here?
Yeah, I see exactly what's happening here.
Oh my God.
Maybe this was a mistake, RJ.
You're calling Rick by your ex's name.
But that's correct.
I'm concerned by what you might be doing here.
Yeah, I don't like this.
You're showing up at 4 a.m. smelling like Mike's cologne. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly right.
He's very handsome cologne.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
The three of you suck.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Nice, Santy. In fairness, what do you think would happen? I mean, all I do, I cook for you, I clean for you, I set the bed up the way you like it, and you show up late, never want to talk. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, but once we're in the sheets, I rock your world. I mean, this is, you got to put up with stuff like this.
You know what? Maybe I need more than that.
I'm a firecracker.
Yeah. Oh, no, you are.
Why wear pants?
Maybe I need more.
Got a nice hard body, which you like. I mean, come on. What else do you need?
I am a big one. My jib is beautiful. At the same time.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
I didn't say I loved hard bodies.
Now you're going to swing it?
I think everyone made a factual point that I, in fact, did hug hard bodies. I'm naked right now.
RJ was up close and personal. I think he saw what happened after you hugged the hard bodies.
My jib is beautiful. RJ was you should have seen him in the suite. Like, as everyone is celebrating, RJ's just, he took a step back. He didn't want to get overly involved.
Do you realize what hockey team he roots for?
Yeah, I feel very awkward. I feel like you would actually appreciate that. I feel very awkward rooting, like outwardly rooting, you know, other than like a little golf clap for other teams. I'm glad to see everyone happy.
See, here's the issue. Because you don't dislike the Rangers, right?
No, I have no problem with them.
You probably dislike the Penguins more than you dislike the Rangers.
I guess.
So what you should have done is said, I'm with the guy who it matters to so much, someone that I work with every single day. I'm in it for him.
And I was. I was happy for you.
I turned around. You were like, yawning. Yeah, I wasn't. Panarin scores. Like,
yeah, I was not hugging hard bodies. No.
I was hugging hard bodies.
I witnessed it. I saw.
Yeah.
You were going to do other things.
That would have been uncomfortable.
Clothes could have come off, like your own clothes.
I don't understand what the expectation for RJ was, though. You know RJ roots for the Sabres. That he was going to be like that all in, where he's, you know, jumping up and down. And
yeah, I think like a good solid high five would have been more than appropriate.
You were in the throes of everything. You were, I don't know what was happening. Chaos. You were swearing at the cameras.
Rick, it was chaotic.
It's a game seven, man. That's
game seven overtime. It was chaotic. And because I look back at RJ's like reading Chaucer. It was boring.
If I had jumped in the middle of that mosh pit, as it were, I think you would look at me a little side-eyed. Like, this is, you're not a part of this journey.
I would have looked at you and be like, what are you doing here?
Exactly. So what was I supposed to, execute one high five and then step back?
I think a high five. I think, Dave, congratulations. I still, to this moment, haven't gotten a congratulations.
Do you think now is the appropriate time? You're grieving.
Yes. Okay. I would, you know what? It's better late than never. Congratulate me for the Rangers beating the Penguins in seven.
Because
in
much
overtime.
Like the Giants, you're a part of this.
Do me a favor, okay? Just play the game, would you?
Dave, congratulations on your Game 7 victory.
Thank you, RJ.
I hope it goes well in Game 1.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know what?
He did it.
I'm sorry.
I didn't think he would. Because he has a little brain, too. That's why.
Oh, no. And here it is.
My team doesn't even make the playoffs, so whatever.
And you know what? Every time we talk hockey, I always try to pump him up. I'm like, you know what, RJ? Your Sabres, the future is bright. Next year, they're going to be very good. I really am.
Congratulations!
I hope they do well. I'm very pro-RJ, and he's very anti-Rothenberg.
No. I love Rothenberg. Love him.
You got to understand the Sabres fans, though. I got attacked. I did like 3 or 4 Sabres games this year, and you can't say, like, if you say anything constructive, like constructively critical about the team, you get attacked. Yeah, they're like wild animals.
Well, the last time, I won't go down our Sabres rabbit hole. The last time we made the playoffs, I was in college. I graduated college 11 years ago this week.
I think that's when we played you guys, right?
Shortly after. This was first round. Ville Leino killed us. But anyways, we move on.
No.
All right, for God's sakes, DPHR Rothenberg presented as always by Progressive Insurance.
Who thought I got we you a beautiful have... Jack Eichel stick, though, RJ.
You did.
He did get that. I'm sure he thanked you for that. I'm sure he was appreciative of that.
Listen, I'm a big fan of you, Dave. And if you need more...
Whatever, fine.
Listen,
sure.
You're just trying out... You're bringing in Mike, I'm sure... What's his name? Frank? Who's your old producer? He'll be here.
Adam. Adam Harris.
Adam will be here soon. You're just one by one piecing us off.
Yeah, Mike will join us 7:35. The voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, who used to do morning drive radio with me in Raleigh. I was taken aback by Kenny Albert last night, by the way. Raymond, you need to tell Kenny. It's not Raleigh. It's Raleigh.
I'll pass
so now we're gonna now we're gonna criticize Kenny Albert now. This is what we're doing.
He's gonna tell Kenny Albert.
This is what we're doing now.
Things.
Should I text him? I have Kenny's number.
Text him right now.
Should we call him?
Up. I guarantee you don't have the sack to cold call Kenny Albert right now.
Oh no.
You don't have that. It doesn't exist for you.
Why would you, of all the people, knowing how off I am, knowing how annoyed I am, why would you challenge me to cold call Kenny Albert?
Let's hear it then.
I guarantee you he'll be awake.
There's no chance they will do this. There is no chance they will do this.
Would you like to make a wager on this?
Whatever you want, buddy.
RJ, do you think I'll call Kenny Albert right now?
What are you going to call? Well, you can't just say hello. It's got to be Kenny. Do you not know how to pronounce Raleigh?
No, I'm not going to scold him right off the bat. Kenny, hey, it's Rothenberg.
No, you can't warm him up.
Well, I can't say good morning.
it's a frenzy. This is a Kenny Albert frenzy.
This is a blitz.
So hello. And I'm like, it's Raleigh, not Raleigh. Click. Is that what you want?
Yeah, sure.
Something like that.
That's what you want?
I don't think you'll do it.
He'll be very confused.
He's going to be, who is this?
No, you're allowed to say who it is.
So, all right. Hello, Kenny. Hey, it's Rothenberg here. It's Raleigh, not Raleigh. Click.
Yep, that's it.
That seems mean.
Well, this is what you signed up for, I thought.
Well, I didn't sign up for mean. I signed up to better people.
All right, well, deliver it the right way and it won't sound mean. Just it's like, hey, just a heads up.
Yes. Yes. But who produces those Rangers games?
Santiago.
Oh, right, Santiago. Raymond, you didn't think to maybe tell him at any point?
Yeah, I'm going to tell Kenny Albert, who's been doing this probably longer than I've been alive, that he's pronouncing things wrong.
He's not perfect. He's not infallible. He makes mistakes. I can't believe you wouldn't just gingerly correct him. It's
unlike you, I actually have respect for the talent.
Not really.
You see what he's doing, though, Santiago. Don't fall for it. This is what he's doing. This is divide and conquer is what he's doing.
No, it's not dividing anything.
We got Maniscalco coming on.
You don't have respect. If you allow him to continuously say, Raleigh, 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 in fact, you don't have respect for him. And you're dancing on his mistake.
But I didn't even see it as a mistake. It didn't stand out to me. Like, okay, some people pronounce it a certain way.
Well, he pronounces it wrong, and you let him do it. Raleigh.
All right, so call him right now and let's fix this.
Because I will. No, you won't.
No, because you're going to text him now. You're going to cheat.
I'm not going to text
him. I see your face minus the giblets. I know what you're doing. You're
going
to text him.
Hands up. My giblets are going away. Look at that. I you know what? Now I'm not going to. Because I would never think of texting. Now you think I would go in that texting route, and I would not. And I never would. And for you to even throw that out there in the atmosphere means you're a bad guy.
In Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's not Raleigh.
You already called me. Mike, well, fix it. Call him right now. He's up. Call him right now.
All right.
You won't do it. He's not going to do it, guys.
Okay. I got to find. I mean, his number is not exactly.
Oh, yeah, because it's not under A for Albert.
Hang on. All right, here we go. All right. We last texted April 4th, 2020.
All right. He's got to answer because if he doesn't, you know, the K show is going to steal this bit and pretend like they came up with it.
Of course.
You okay, Dave?
You know what we should do? Let's call Andrew Gundling and see how he feels about the Sixers loss.
Yeah, he'll call right back on the other show. All right, here we go. All right, I'm a little nervous. Do I really want to do this?
Yes.
Short man with a long stick.
Yeah. Oh. You know what? I like Kenny. We have a good relationship.
We have.
Here we go. Here we go.
This could go sideways.
You okay, Dave?
He's sleeping.
Oh, dear. Let's start giving the number. All right. So I called, and it went right to voicemail. I'll call again after we talk to Mike Maniscalco. Is that fair?
That's pretty nice. I give you credit. That was well done.
I was very nervous. I'm actually very pleased it went right to voicemail. All right. So the reason we're talking about Kenny and Raleigh and the Rangers is because of what happened last night down in Carolina. Golden opportunity. It could really take a just, I don't want to say command, but really strike first in this best of seven series. You had it. You had a 1-0 lead. You had a golden opportunity to make it 2-0. They score with 2.5 minutes to go. All the momentum, score in overtime, and now what should have been a win for the Rangers is a 1-0 hole on the road in Carolina.
It's a 1-0 hole. Yeah, and the question I would ask you and Rangers fans is, as well as you played in the first two periods, and you played, I mean, to the point where your head coach said that's the best game that you've played all season long. That's high praise. And I thought the first two periods were great. But you end up losing. Do you see a Carolina team play as poorly as they played the first two periods for the rest of the series?
So I can go a few avenues here with you. I can give you Rothenberg, the Ranger fan, or I can give you take a step back and give you like an honest assessment of what I think.
I expect honesty from you. That's it.
I think the Rangers are in big trouble.
I think that was a humongous moment in the series.
Yes. Because let's be fair. I would love to be wrong. I don't look at the Rangers and say this is a great team by any stretch. I think this is a team that's young, will get better, has a great goaltender, has some great pieces, not a great team. You don't have home ice. You know how good they are in their own arena. And now you're down 1-0, a game that you probably should have won. Do I see Carolina play another game like that, especially at home? Very unlikely. Very unlikely. So I sadly think the Rangers are in a world of trouble right now.
It's a tough loss, but this is a resilient group. So I expect that they'll bounce back. But in that moment, I know you felt it. I felt it. Just when Kako misses that net and Aho scores to tie it up and take that into overtime, it didn't feel like the Rangers were going to win. It felt like that was going to be Carolina's game.
The only thing that was pleasing from that overtime is it didn't go like four overtimes, and then they lost.
Well, that's how it happens usually, man. It's either it's early or it lasts a while.
But no, do you think I'm wrong? Like, do you hear that? Because I know there are going to be people that start tweeting me or start calling like, oh, you're not a real fan. But I am a real fan. I just can look at it objectively.
No, I think it's. I mean, I think it's tough to miss out on an opportunity like that. I mean, especially with what you saw from Carolina in the first round against Boston, where they were dominant at home. I mean, they're undefeated.
5-0 at home.
And you know, I mean, because you don't have home ice, at some point you're going to have to win a game in Carolina, and it should have been game one. Because now all of a sudden you get that pressure off you a little bit, because now it's, okay, you know, how would we bounce, you know, how would we emotionally respond after a really tough series against Pittsburgh? You answer the bell. You had a great first period. Probably could have been 2-3-0, right? So, okay, we checked that box, and now you can start to get greedy if you win game one. Okay, we won game one. All the pressure's back on them now. Let's go. Let's play our game. You know, come out, score the first goal again. Make them chase it.
Mm-hmm.
See how they respond.
Now the pressure is on you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Kenny in the car. Ken, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello there. How you doing today?
Hello, Ken.
Doug Lidster, Game 7. What a Game 7 he played coming in. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're very welcome.
Okay, two things. Rick, I listen to you guys a lot, but I got to say two things. DeAndre Miller, number one, since he's brought the physical element yep. to his game, it's become a beast on the blue line. Would you agree on that?
I would agree with that.
And the other thing, we got to talk about Ryan Strome. I mean, he takes the worst penalties in the NHL, and he did it last night on the power play, another lazy penalty. My opinion, for next year, we got to move on from him. I'd like your thoughts on it, Rick.
Well, he has such good chemistry with Panarin, right? Now, I played with Stromer. He was a high pick. He's a first-round pick for the Islanders, so I played with Stromer. He's a really good guy, and he's got great chemistry with Panarin. I mean, that, in all honesty, that's been part of the problem here. I know they won the first series, and Panarin had the big Game 7 OT winner, but, I mean, that line, I thought Mika's line was pretty good last night. The kid line was great last night, and that Strome-Panarin line has not been what you need it to be.
Not at all. The kid line is their best line right now.
Oh, yeah. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. And man, he's right. I mean, Miller, I mean, his size, he's starting to, I mean, it takes a little bit of time.
He is something else, though.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He is a real good player. All right. So, quick shift over to the Mets, and then we'll get back to the Rangers and the Hurricanes in about 10, 12 minutes from right now. Great win last night for the Mets. Jumped out to an early lead. Scherzer allowed a couple runs. They took a 6-2 lead. Got a little dicey. They closed it out. That's not the story, though. The story is Max Scherzer, and he felt a pull, a sting, kind of that you know, feeling down the left side came immediately signaled. And I like this. Immediately signals to the dugout, get me out of the game. Comes out of the game. I know he's saying immediately this is not going to be a horrible injury, but I'll tell you what, I'm on pins and needles until we find out what it exactly is.
Yeah, we won't know until he takes the MRI to see how bad it is. Which is happening today. Another starting pitcher. And the injuries are starting to pile up here a little bit. But here's the thing with the Mets. And it's going to happen at some point during the season, right? I mean, it's such a long season that you're going to have times like this where, you know, it feels like you get a rash of injuries and you got to fight through it. So hopefully, you know, Peterson comes up and he can step in, and Max's MRI isn't so bad where he's missing multiple starts. But it's so early on in the season and you've got off to a good start. So there's no urgency to try to rush him back or say, no. Hey, Max, we're going to need you to pitch through this.
No, because, see, the fan can look at things and say, we need him back. We can't lose this game on Wednesday. It's unacceptable. The organization, Buck, Epler, have to look at the big picture and say, of course we'd like him back. We don't want to be without him. But the big picture is we need to think about getting to October. And do we have a healthy Max Scherzer at that point? Not at this point. And so I think for me, you got to really err on the side of caution here.
Yeah, and I give him credit. I know we talked about this earlier in the show, but I mean, there's no reason for him to push it. Like, he feels something. It feels tight. He feels a twinge. Okay, get out of there.
Also, he doesn't. There are certain guys that might have to push it, right? He's so good and has such a track record of being great that he earns the right to not push it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like middling pitchers might say, you know, I have to keep rolling. But he has so much already, you know, skins on the wall that he can afford to, I'm done. I have nothing left.
Yeah, and it's just being smart about it. Like, he's at a point in his career, he's 37 years old. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he's financially he's set. He's making a boatload of money this year. And I think, I mean, in that moment, you say to yourself, like, okay, I mean, it's May 18th. We're trying to win a championship here, and I'm vital to this team's success. There's no reason to try to battle through this thing. I don't need to be a hero.
Nope, and I think he did the right thing, and of course they did the right thing as well. All right, after the game, he answered the questions. Do you have a sense of the severity of the injury?
No, I don't think I don't think this is a major strain. You know, like I said, I was kind of tight, and then all of a sudden it went. I don't feel like I really ripped it, I felt like it just got worse. So hopefully I got out of there quick enough to prevent, you know, a major injury here on, you know, because I know, you know, obliques, so intercostals, like, those things can be nasty. Hopefully I avoided a serious injury.
So I'll say this. Guys usually know. I mean, you could speak to this better than anybody, right? You usually, like, if you're really hurt, you usually have an idea. And if it's a minor, not that it couldn't be something, but hopefully he's right and this will not be a major issue.
Yeah, he would know. Like, there's a big difference between, you know, a twinge and the feeling when you actually tear it. Like, I've actually torn an oblique, and you know when you tore.
You know that you've torn an oblique?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a painful injury. But he's smart. I mean, again, I think that's the important part here, is that he realized it in the moment. Okay, this is it. There's no reason to risk it. Especially with what's going on with DeGrom right now. We don't know when he's going to be back. I mean, we can be as optimistic as possible, but still, I mean, he's still a long way away.
Oh, I think the earliest you see DeGrom is July.
Which I don't have a problem with at all.
I don't care if I don't see DeGrom until September 1.
It doesn't matter. As long as when he comes back, he's DeGrom.
If he's DeGrom and he's DeGrom when I get to October, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, that would be such a big boost for this team. I mean, to have DeGrom back, Scherzer and Bassett at the top of that rotation, McGill, I mean, I don't know how it would get much better than that.
I don't think it would. I think the Mets are defined by the health that they have this season. If they're healthy, they're going to be a real tough out.
Yeah, if their starting pitching staff is healthy, yeah, it's going to be teams are going to have their hands full.
Are you okay with this now? Like, what we're going to do next?
I think it'll be fine. I can't sit here and lie to the audience and say I'm not a little jealous. You called me Mike earlier in the show.
Well, I said all right.
You know what it was. You had a mouthful of Mike is what you had.
I kind of did. I can't argue with that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It's my current love. And my former love, who I still currently love, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. We bring in my former co-host in the morning down on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, which has never been the same since we were off the air. And that, of course, is the great Mike Maniscalco. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm well. And I mean, it was a love that Shakespeare would have written about. I don't want to put Rick in an awkward spot with this, but... As I told RJ, there is no other human being that I would wake up for this early to talk about anything other than you. And happy to be here, Dave. I know our wives are still concerned about that, and that's fine. But they know. And again, I don't want Rick to feel awkward about this, but you are correct, Dave. Ever since you and I were split up here in Raleigh, that radio station's never been the same.
It really hasn't. All right, so we'll have fun. We'll do hijinks. We're in no rush this morning, but let's get to the matter at hand. And that is the game last night. Mike, I thought Carolina was, quite frankly, bad for two periods. Third period overtime, clearly the better team. What worries me is that they don't play that poorly again. From the Rangers' standpoint, to play that well for two periods and lose, how concerned should the Rangers fan be right now?
I think they should be very concerned because you're spot on. And the Canes basically to a man said that last night too, Dave, that that was probably as poor of a start to a game that they've had all year in those first two periods. They only had 14 shots on goal through 40 minutes. They did not make Igor Shesterkin have to work very hard on many of those 14 shots. Meanwhile, you got the contribution out of a line that you were hoping was turning a page in the kid line, and they were excellent all night with Philip Hedl, Kaapo Kakko, and Alex Lafreniere. They were outstanding. And then you were starting to feel, okay, the Rangers are one more goal away from burying this thing. Rod Brind'Amour makes a couple of tweaks to the lines in the third period. And I hate to say this to Ranger fans, but the third period, what you saw out of the Hurricanes, that's basically how they played all year. That's how they played to win the Metro Division. I know that Ranger fans saw it when the Canes won the Metro Division that Tuesday night up at Madison Square Garden. That's the kind of relentless style that they play. You know, they outshot the Rangers, 7-0 in the first 12 minutes of the third period. But it's one for me where the Hurricanes, they know that they wore ski masks in that game, that they stole it the way that they played for the first two periods. And you're not supposed to play one good period and win a playoff game, but that's what happened last night. So the level of concern should be high for Ranger fans this morning.
All right, Mike, let me ask you this because you're with this team every day. How unusual is it during the course of the season to have Rod Brind'Amour decide that he wants to start mixing up lines the way he did last night?
Not too unusual, because he's not afraid to go to a couple of combinations that he knows can work. One of the reasons why you saw the line changes in the third period is because against the Boston Bruins, the Canes wanted to put a little bit more depth in scoring because that they knew that Boston was so top-heavy with that Bergeron line that if they could balance out and separate a couple of guys, moving Teuvo Teravainen away from Sebastian Aho, putting Teravainen with Vincent Trocheck, and then that worked. You know, Trocheck had 7 points in that series against Boston, but just to put more scoring balance for the Canes. But it's something where when this team was flat or wasn't giving the performance that Rod Brind'Amour wanted to see, Rick, he's not afraid to move guys around. And that's why it worked right off of the hop to start the third period, because pretty much everybody for the Carolina Hurricanes has played with everybody at some point in time during the season, either for a period or for a game or for a stretch of games. But, you know, Rod has a feel for the game because, Rick, I know you appreciate this. He doesn't coach it like a coach. He coaches it like a player. And he knows, like, when a player needs to do something or they need some kind of change, that's the feel that Rod has. And that's why he made that move. So it's not that uncommon to see him, you know, juggle up the lines a little bit. And the combinations he went to were combinations that he knows has worked during the course of the regular season.
All right, he is Mike Maniscalco, voice of the Canes down in Raleigh, calling the games on radio this round because now this is nationally televised stuff, big stuff, Rangers and the Hurricanes. So, Mike, what do the Rangers need to do? I know you say Carolina will play better, and I think that you're right with that, but how do the Rangers go down there Friday night, 8 o'clock start, you can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN, and steal one of these two games, other than just say they have to do what they did in the first 40 minutes. But what needs to change to actually get a victory in this game too?
They need to make life, and this is going to be odd to say because there were some A-plus chances from the Rangers, but they need to make life a little bit rougher for Antti Raanta and get in front of them. You know, Chris Kreider is maybe, and I say maybe because who knows if there's another fan base listening in on this, but Chris Kreider is maybe the best net front presence in the National Hockey League. If there's somebody better than him, you know, submit the name. And
Pavelski maybe?
Mike,
Pavelski maybe?
Yeah. That's a good one when it comes to taking away the goalie's eyes and getting a stick out in front and deflecting pucks or just being a beast out in front. Yeah, Joe Pavelski would be the one guy who I would put in that category. But they've got to make life tougher for Antti Raanta. That's one. Two, they've got to make the Canes defense just make them a little bit more antsy with the puck than what they did. There were a lot of hits in that game last night. That game was a little bit more physical than I thought it was going to be. But it's not a sexy way to play the game. But you've got to get the puck to the Canes' blue line, get it in deep, and make sure that you get a forecheck going and hit the Carolina Hurricanes' defense. Now, it doesn't bother the Canes' defense that much, but you can maybe force a couple of turnovers that way. That's how the goal was scored. Is, you know, Tony DeAngelo makes a bad giveaway, and he'll tell you that, in the Canes' zone, and Hedl takes advantage of it on a great pass from, you know, Lafreniere and Kakko, how they set him up. But you have to do that. Not enough teams do that against the Hurricanes. And it's, like I said, not the most exciting style to play. And then the other thing, you got to find a way to generate some penalties. There were only two penalties called in that game last night. The Rangers have to find a way to get to the power play. And that would be the thing that they could do to come away with a victory in game two. And I know you said I couldn't say the first two periods, but how good they were taking away the time and space of the Canes offensively. Carolina had nothing going in that 40 minutes, but the way that the Rangers had sticks and passing lanes and they gapped up, they have to duplicate that effort. That has to happen because that's going to be the only way that you can beat the Hurricanes in Raleigh.
Yeah, and to your point too, Mike, Tony D'Angelo will take a stupid penalty now and again if you're tough on him. All right, so we took a bunch of phone calls today. I think Dave even said it because he was in a bad mood. He wasn't going to show up. You know how he gets.
One of his teams. Yeah, he actually does know how I get. Yeah.
So
yes, I literally do.
Yeah, so you feel my pain. So I had to cheer him up and everything else. But I mean, with how well the Rangers played in the first two, and you mentioned taking away time and space, clogging up the neutral zone, and everything else. It was, you know, he said it, and a bunch of people called it and said is, well, the Rangers got away from their game in the third period, and I would make the argument. Well, you have to give Carolina some credit too, because that's, I mean, what you saw in the third period, to your point, was is how Carolina played the entire season and then how they played against Boston at home. So, I mean, some of that's Carolina too, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the one thing for fans, they forget the other team tries to win the game too. Because Canes fans, you know, we're going crazy through the first 40 minutes of play. Saying, you know, what's wrong with his team? How come this is happening? Well, how about give the Rangers credit for how they played? And the third period, the Canes got to their game. And that's the one thing that I take away from last night, that if you put it in a vacuum, if we're not going to be fans, if we're just going to break down the game, how the Hurricanes played in the third period, that's their style of hockey. That's how they win games. What the Rangers were able to do in the first 40 minutes, it wasn't that the Canes played terrible. How about give the Rangers some credit for how they played defensively, for how they managed the puck, and how they were able to force Carolina to chase the Rangers around in the offensive zone. So I think that both teams deserve a little bit of credit for how they played last night, the Rangers at the start. And then, again, the Canes, when they are at their best, they are forechecking, and it is relentless. And it's a line that starts it, too, for the Canes. It's the Jordan Staal line with Jesper Fast. By the way, thank you, New York, for not re-signing Jesper Fast. You know, he's never going to score 40 goals, but he just does everything right. He plays the game the right way. And Nino Niederreiter, that's a heavy line. And, you know, that line might not show up on the score sheet, but they're effective because you didn't see the Zibanejad, Kreider, Vetrano line show up on the score sheet because they're heavy on the puck in the other zone. So I'm with you, Rick. That's the big thing that happens. And as I know from experience, we do have to talk Dave out of certain situations from time, saying it's not that bad. Take a look at your team actually did a couple of good things. They just have to do more of it for 60 minutes, especially. That's the weirdest thing for the Hurricanes. They used to be the team that would play a really good 40 minutes and then have that bad third period or a bad second period. Now they're the team that can overcome maybe not playing a great 40 minutes and finding a way to get a goal. Plus, they were the best third period team in the National Hockey League when it came to goal differential. Like they understand it's winning time, and there's no panic in their game, even if they're not playing well through 40 minutes of a hockey game.
I don't appreciate either of you bonding over my immaturity when it comes to my sports teams at all.
We're not bonding on this. No offense, Rick. I don't think there's a bond being formed right now. I think we just understand that at some point in time, cooler, more mature heads have to prevail to make sure the show goes on, Dave.
Mike, just let me, because again, you've experienced all this. So, I mean, the highs and the lows, the roller coaster that is Dave's fandom. So, Game Seven, he's he takes over the ESPN suite, and he's ordering Adam Graves to move chairs because he feels like there's too many chairs in the suite. And then when they win, he's swearing into video cameras, let's bleep and go. He's asking our producer to steal cake pops and for some reason mustard. And then to top it all off, poor R.J. Santillo, our producer, has to get back to the station to produce our show, and Dave tries to kidnap him for pizza and then whatever else he wants to do afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's pretty typical. My question, and Dave, this might be too much information for the fine people in New York State. Were his clothes still on by the end of the game? Because that's been a trademark of Dave Rothenberg. The bigger the game, the fewer the clothes at the end of it on his body.
It wasn't, Mike, I'll put it this way. He had his clothes on, but I wasn't worried about his clothes coming off. It was where he was headed and those clothes being taken off.
Naked ladies.
I'm glad some things will never change. That makes me so happy, Dave.
Mike, do you see what I have to deal with? I mean, I go from you, and you're such a nice guy, and we had this wonderful bond, to just a heathen, a man that doesn't deserve my time every morning in these ungodly hours.
I mean, I don't know. I've never met Rick in person, but I'm starting to feel, you know, I understand where he's coming from, Dave. As much as I admire and respect you, I mean, I get it. I've lived this. I still remember the phone call of making sure you were okay when the Giants won the Super Bowl and hearing you run around your coffee table. We weren't sure if you were going to be able to make it in the next day.
Boy, was that a great day.
RJ, do me a favor. Play for Mike Dave's what he was doing in the suite with the hugging. When you get a chance. If you can,
I hugged it. Hard bodies the other night.
I don't see how that's embarrassing, Mike. You know me. I'm a hugger.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
Rangers win the game. I'm turning to hug the people that are next to me. It turns out that there was a man who was in very good physical shape, and it was a hardened body.
Let's go. Does that make me a better, lecherous guy?
Go all the way.
Well, I mean, let's face it. You had Adam Graves in the box with you, so I'm quite sure that you weren't afraid to hug that hard body if you had to come up with a reason to give a hug. And you are a very affectionate human being, and I have no problem with that. I think that's part of the reason why you and I became such good friends. I just need to know if Roth and Domus has predicted any of this going on up there in the city that never sleeps.
They don't know anything about Roth and Domus.
Oh, stop it. I got your list. I got your stupid list of all your predictions. I wrote them down. Stop.
You see how I'm treated? You see how I'm treated? Mike, here's what I'd like to...
Now a little bit, Dave. That's a little disrespectful to you. Just a little bit.
It's very disrespectful. You miss me in the mornings, don't you? Be honest.
Oh, wow. I don't miss waking up as early as we had to in the mornings, but I do miss working with you in the mornings, that's for sure.
So if Rick ever found other employment, either like the afternoon show here with Michael Kay, who he has this bizarre man crush on, or he was asked to coach a hockey team full time, and they turned to you and said, mornings with Rothenberg, you would tag in immediately, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I kind of like the job that I'm in right now, but there would be some deep thought. There would be some contract negotiations for sure. Yeah, you know what? Just mark me down. Yeah, I'd be in. I'd find out if Michael Kay can call 150 Yankee games and do the wonderful job that he does. And by the way, who doesn't have a man crush on Michael Kay? I do too. And I actually raised my hand, and you guys can't see me as I did that. So, but yeah, I think I could find a way to balance calling Carolina Hurricanes games and work in the morning and do magical sports talk radio with you, Dave, like we did down here.
There you go. You have any other hockey questions, Rick? I don't want to stand in your way and get berated after.
Yeah, I just have one last one. Just update, Mike. What is the status of Freddie Anderson for the series?
I will give you the answer that Rod Brindamore gave us, which is until he's on the ice, it's pointless in asking. And he has not been able to participate in practice with the Canes. I did see him last night walking out of the arena, but I highly doubt that he would be available for this series because, Rick, as you know, for a goaltender, he's been out since April 16th when he suffered the lower body injury. We'll keep it in those contexts for the NHL. He's been out since then, since that injury against Colorado. He hasn't faced shots. He hasn't faced anything that's really close to anything that's simulated. Like we say, we're not even sure if he's even skating on his own to a point where they can work him into a practice. So, you know, it would take more than, 5 days to get ready to play in a series. And the way Antti Raanta's played, there's no reason to go to any other netminder right now. Raanta has been great. I'll throw this one out there for you guys. He has credited Henrik Lundqvist for helping his game get to the level that we've been able to see it here in Carolina. He loved backing up Hank and talked about how just being around him for the 2 years he was up with the Rangers made a difference in his career. But Raanta has been great. There's absolutely no update that I can give anybody on Freddie Anderson other than he's nowhere close to being ready. And if he is, it's probably going to be 2 weeks before the Canes would feel comfortable putting him into the net and getting him a couple of practices. And this time of year, Rick, there's no practice time. So I don't have anything other to say that I can't give an update until I see Freddie Anderson put on the pads and go to a practice for the Canes. And it doesn't look like we're going to see that anytime soon.
All right. He is the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's also a good buddy of mine and now a friend of the show, I think it's fair to say. Michael, as always, a pleasure. It's been too long. I will talk to you, my friend.
David, absolutely. And Rick, I'm glad we got this chance to bond over our very wonderful co-host in the morning, the one and only David Rothenberg.
Yeah, we'll start a support group, Mike. I'll be in touch.
Exactly. We need that online. We'll have the teleconference every Thursday. Let me know when.
All right. Mike, we'll talk to you, buddy. Have a great call tomorrow night. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Anytime you need me, just let me know.
All right. There you have it. See? I told you you'd love him.
Oh, what a voice he has, though. I mean, I was jealous already, but the voice, holy.
His voice is not usually that beautiful. I think it's so nice because he's exhausted and he still has, like, morning voice.
Well, he should do it more often because that was gorgeous.
Yeah. He's a hardworking guy. He's good. He's another career that I've helped launch.
Oh, here we go. Why can't it be he launched you into New York radio?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Who launched who? Who launched who? All right, Santiago, I've launched you. Let's see what you've got today with your
today's three stars.
Oh, that's debatable. Anyway.
Number three.
Dave, how do you pronounce it? Go ahead, Rick.
He's such an idiot. I can't take it.
Dave, how do you pronounce the city that the Hurricanes play in again?
Raleigh.
Okay. Mike Maniscalco?
Here in Raleigh.
Kenny Albert?
In Raleigh.
See?
North Carolina.
It's not Raleigh.
Okay.
For God's sake, Kenny.
He does add some kind of like a W in there.
Interesting.
Number two.
We're going to thank the great Mike Maniscalco for coming on, Dave's former co-host in the morning. And even though he tried to deny that there seemed to be some sort of bond developing, I feel like there's a bond developing between Rick and Mike right now. And I think Dave might have to watch out. And maybe this could backfire.
Well, I've already stolen Buster. I mean, it feels like this is just next.
Not could backfire. I'm sure it'll be Maniscalco and DiPietro, sponsored by, Ronzoni. I'm sure.
And on the board, we have Dave Rothenberg.
Yeah, I'll be doing updates every 20 minutes with your big sports news happening out there.
Let's get a look at the traffic with Dave Rothenberg.
Look at the sports out there.
Rick, if that happens, I don't think there's any coming back for Dave at that point. I think it's over.
Number one.
You know, usually I don't shout out when things aren't going well, but the app had a little bit of problems this morning, but it seems to be working again. New app, little issues here and there. I appreciate the company and everybody on Twitter for hanging with us today.
They do a great job.
Good job, Raymond.
They are the best in the business. All right. We didn't have crosstalk yesterday, which I missed terribly because apparently there was a lot going on up in Bristol. But we have it today, and we have our favorite, Jay Williams.
What's up, boys? I have a big announcement.
How are you, Jay?
I have a big announcement for you guys today, Dave and Rick.
Okay.
This is a better version of LeBron James and a decision. But I have officially decided to take my name out of the 2-on-2 game on June 1st out of anger and frustration that Dave and Rick are not calling the game as analysts. So I just want to officially announce that I will not be participating in the game against Barton Allen on June 1st.
Wow. Wait, the game is off?
It's off for me. I will not be showing up. I will not be wearing a KJM uniform. I will not be participating. I will not be at the event. I am boycotting.
Wow.
This is big news.
You guys know how I feel about you.
Wow.
I'm willing to put my money, my career on the line for you two. So move over, get ready for a third spot because I will be begging for a job.
We will take you. We'd love to have you on the show.
Great. I just wanted to state
that's
that.
A nice dynamic.
Rick, I don't know if you feel as happy about the decision. I kind of feel like you're indifferent.
I'm in shock.
Dave is more. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair.
No, I'm in shock. I listen. I love every second of it because I'm hurt. We're both hurt. And then you go with. I mean, you got Carlin.
Don't say you. It was decision made over my head. That's why I'm pulling the card. It's time.
So that's it. So the game ceases to exist as we know it.
Not, in my mind, not participating. Not going
to
play.
I love it. Now, if they were to come back to you and say, you know what, those guys will now call the game, you're back
I'll
in.
Play. Yes, I will play. That's the only stipulation on how I would participate in this 2-on-2 event.
I love it.
That is turning out to be pretty big, by the way. A lot of people are coming to the game. So just want you guys to know, I'm sacrificing a lot for you, too.
I love it. Speaking of sacrificing or maybe poor decisions, Kevin Durant... maybe he should have stayed with Golden State. Is that your thought this morning, Jay?
I am not some people are saying that. Some people will use that. My thing is, I like when a player, and I'm very close to this, I like when a player decides that he's going to step out and do something his own way. And I am all for that for Kevin Durant. A lot of people will try to put him back on Golden State, but I am not a believer that all this chaos that we've seen this year, that people have stirred up around Kyrie and the pandemic, around Ben Simmons being on this team and actually being injured, I think they are one of the favorites to win a world championship next year, because I think if there's anything that would have brought this team together, it's the fact of, about how people have been chastising Kyrie and Ben Simmons and even KD. Because, guys, they were number one in the East before he got hurt. Number one, if he doesn't get hurt, I don't think James Harden leaves. I think Kyrie Irving then gets a chance to play down the stretch. I think they're in it. But things have happened the way they have. But I think leaving Golden State will be the best thing that could happen for KD's career. How about that?
Well, that's if he wins a championship, though, Jay, no?
Yes. Yeah, but I'm projecting him to win a championship, Rick, because I firmly believe that with the talent they have on this team, there's no other choice but for them to win a championship.
So you're buying back in? You still think they're going to win a title?
I've never left.
Well,
I've never left.
He's a restaurant in Brooklyn. He has to. He has to do this.
See, the restaurant's actually in the city. That hurts my feelings, Rick. See, stuff like that, it's an alphabet city.
When
that
are we coming to the restaurant?
You've been invited. You guys never call me. You never text.
I'm gonna send you a message. I wanna break bread with you. I wanna have a beautiful dinner at the restaurant.
Yeah, is that before AOL sign? Was that
no?
Mail? What was that?
Do it before you invite Carlin too, because I want to make sure the restaurant
still food.
Yeah, still has food available.
I get yelled at, by the way, every time I invite you guys to something, because my own team here at Keyshawn, J. Will, Max always say I don't invite them to anything. I always invite you guys first.
We will be there. You have to go. Go do a show. We'll listen in just a moment. We love you. We'll talk to you. Thank you, Jay.
All right, boys.
All right, there you have it. Wow, he won't play in the game. He's on team DiPietro and Rothenberg. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Rothenberg, and
everybody.
No, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.